Chairman Reed, Ranking Member Wicker, ladies and gentlemen of the committee, I'm joined today by Command Master Chief Derek Walters, the command's senior enlisted leader of U.S. Central Command. On behalf of the soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Coast Guardsmen, and Guardians who serve this command, the Central Region, and this nation every day, thank you for allowing me to testify regarding the posture of U.S. Central Command alongside my Ranger buddy, Mike Langley. CENTCOM serves as the security integrator for an area of responsibility that encompasses 21 nations, almost 600 million people, and serves as the strategic nexus of the world's most important corridors of trade. I'm now 11 months into command. In that time, I've made 14 trips to the region, and those visits have allowed me first-person insights that have informed my strategic approach, which is best summarized in three words: people, partners, and innovation. People are our greatest asset and our most critical resource. Our service members and civilians in the United States and across the region are our nation's best. I know this body keeps them top of mind that right now in the CENTCOM region, thousands of troops are in harm's way. Our people, who are closest to the problem, understand the opportunities available to solve the region's most complex challenges. That is why we rely so heavily on our partners. Our partners are the nation's comparative advantage against competitors like China and Russia. Across CENTCOM, we cultivate deep, abiding partnerships that can serve as a hedge against the threats in the region while deterring Iran from its most destructive behavior. We have the kind of relationships that elicit candid, sometimes tough, conversations that result in solutions. These kind of relationships make us the partner of choice in the region. And a critical component of that partnership is innovation. Innovation of thought, innovation of process, innovation of concept and technology extends the value of the partnerships. Innovation allows us to move faster, operate more efficiently, and increase progress across all operational efforts. This is more important now than any time in our history. 40 years ago, the Department of Defense established CENTCOM to counter the malign influence of a revolutionary regime that seized power in Tehran and to compete with a great power in the region, the Soviet Union. The organization's charter, directed by this body, was to direct and enable military operations and activities with allies and partners to increase regional stability in support of enduring U.S. interests. That mission remains essentially unchanged to this day. Iran still remains the focus. We now battle violent extremist groups who threaten the region and beyond. The Soviet Union has been replaced with China and Russia as strategic competitors. With these challenges, the CENTCOM region holds the greatest risk of derailing the national defense strategy with a flashpoint international incident that may demand a response using unplanned resources and attention. So today, CENTCOM priorities are to deter Iran, counter violent extremist organizations, and compete strategically with China and Russia. Four decades after CENTCOM's formation, Iran remains the primary destabilizing element in the region. We've seen rapid advances in Iranian military capability over time. The Iran of 2023 is not the Iran of 1983. In fact, today, Iran is exponentially more capable than they were just 5 years ago. Today, Iran possesses the largest and most diverse missile arsenal in the Middle East, thousands of ballistic and cruise missiles, many capable of striking anywhere in the Middle East. Iran also maintains the largest and most capable UAV force in the region. The regime continues to enrich and stockpile uranium far above what is needed for commercial use, and Tehran can enrich uranium far faster than it could even 2 years ago. An Iran with a nuclear weapon would change the Middle East overnight and forever. Iran's vast and deeply resourced proxy forces spread instability throughout the region and threaten our regional partners. As Iran continues to destabilize the region, we continue to fight against violent extremist organizations. In Syria, we put pressure on ISIS alongside our Syrian Democratic Forces partners. In Iraq, we advise, assist, and enable the Iraqi security forces in their fight against ISIS. While ISIS is significantly degraded in Iraq and Syria, the group maintains the capability to conduct operations within the region and has the desire to strike outside of it. Our progress in Iraq and Syria contrasts with the security situation in Afghanistan. In Afghanistan, the Taliban's hold on security is maintained through ideology, continued humanitarian aid, and the persistent abuse of human rights to dissuade unrest. Extremist groups see opportunity, and ISIS Khorasan grows emboldened, seeking to expand its ranks and inspire, enable, and direct attacks in the region and beyond with the ultimate goal to strike on the American homeland. Amidst these challenges, strategic competition is deeply manifest in the region. The People's Republic of China has chosen to compete in the region. The PRC is aggressively expanding its diplomatic, informational, military, and economic outreach across the region. China, dependent upon the region for half of its imported oil, is also moving beyond energy-based investments to encompass physical and telecommunication infrastructure that advances its Belt and Road initiatives. Over half the oil and more than a third of all the natural gas imported by China is supplied by CENTCOM countries. 19 of 21 CENTCOM countries have signed a Belt and Road initiative with China. We are in a race to integrate with our partners before China can fully penetrate the region. Russia looks to expand its influence in Syria, seeking permanent basing there and undermining our efforts towards stability and security in the region. The U.S. Central Command juts up against Russia with a border 6.5 times longer than the Russian border with NATO. Putin seeks to take advantage of this proximity with a foothold of influence in the Central Asian states, leveraging historical relations and a perceived decline in U.S. engagement to challenge our influence in that critical part of the world. With all these challenges and opportunities, the CENTCOM region looks to the United States for assurance as our commitment. For CENTCOM, that commitment is unwavering. In closing, let me thank you for your support to our service members. I would also like to thank the soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Coast Guardsmen, and Guardians who serve and sacrifice in CENTCOM, and all those who have done so for the last 40 years. It is the greatest honor of my lifetime to be their commander. Thank you.